Good evening, everybody. My name is Ben. I'm one of the interns here, and I have the privilege of being able to share God's word with you tonight. And that's it's a wonderful privilege. I'm very thankful for. So, just let me pray, and we can get started. Father God, thank you for your word, and thank you that we can read it, and thank you that we can understand it. And Father, I pray that you'd be teaching us tonight. I pray that you'd be writing your words onto our hearts and teaching us more about you, bringing us closer to you. I pray that you'd speak through me and help me to speak your word clearly and help us all to understand it. In Jesus' name, amen. What if, instead of watching a whole movie, you only watch the exciting bit at the end? You know, you just skip over all the boring stuff and just go straight to the exciting bit. You know, it'd probably still be exciting for you, but there's a whole lot that you'd miss. Imagine you only watch the end of, say, The Lord of the Rings. Now, if you haven't seen it, just stop listening for about 30 seconds. Imagine you only see Frodo at the end, you know, trying to destroy the ring in Mount Doom. It's still pretty exciting, I mean, as you see him try to throw it in, and you see his fight with Gollum. But there's so much you're missing. You wonder, what on earth are they doing in a volcano? You don't understand just how tragic it is when Frodo fails. And what's so special about a gold ring? Why are they even trying to destroy it? And why does Gollum want to stop them? Or what about the great big epic battles at the end? They're exciting to watch just on their own. But if you haven't watched all the stuff leading up to it, you end up having to guess who are the good guys and who are the bad guys, just if the appearance of the orcs doesn't give it away straight away. And you don't even really know why they're fighting. The Bible's also like this. In a way, Jesus is the exciting bit that happens at the end. And the Old Testament is the important stuff beforehand that makes sense of what's going on. So if you don't really know the Old Testament, you can't really understand the full meaning of the New Testament and fully understand who Jesus is and what he's done. Once you start getting a grasp on the Old Testament, it helps you get so much more out of the New Testament. Tonight, we'll be looking at a really important Old Testament passage that helps us understand the New. Tonight, we're looking at Jeremiah 31, verses 31 to 34. Let's read it together. The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness, and I will remember their sins no more. Now let me explain what that means. So way back in Genesis, God called Abraham. And God made a covenant with him. A covenant is like a contract. It says how things are going to work out between two different parties. It puts two people in a special relationship with each other. It's a committed relationship. It's not easily broken. And there are consequences if you don't honour the covenant. A special type of covenant is marriage. It puts a husband and a wife in a special relationship that's not easily broken. They make vows to each other about being faithful to that relationship, and they commit to those vows. It works out well for both parties when they stay committed, but if either of them is unfaithful to their vows, to the covenant they made with each other, there's consequences. The prophets describe God's relationship with Israel like a marriage. And in a way, God's covenant with Israel is like a marriage between God and Israel, where God is the faithful husband and Israel is his beloved wife. So, God made a covenant with Abraham, and God said that he would give Abraham a nation, land, and blessing, and that he would be their God, and Abraham and his descendants would be his people. So God put himself in a special relationship with Abraham and his descendants, and God was committed to that relationship. And God was faithful to that covenant. Abraham's descendants became the nation of Israel, and Israel ended up living in the land of Canaan that God had given to them. And for a time, Israel was blessed. God was truly their God, and Israel were God's own people. As a part of that covenant, God told Abraham that all his sons must be circumcised. And after God saved Israel out of Egypt, God added laws to that covenant for Israel to keep. And if they kept those laws, they'd be blessed. But if they didn't keep those laws, they'd be cursed. They'd be kicked out of the land, and their nation would be destroyed. And God wouldn't be their God anymore. Now, by Jeremiah's day, Israel had been unfaithful to God for a long time. Jeremiah and the other prophets tell us what they did wrong. They went after other gods and not the God. They thought that if they went to the temple and did the right things, they'd be all right with God no matter what they did outside the temple. They'd lost sight of some of the things that God really cared about. Things like justice, mercy. They were breaking God's covenant. This is the old covenant that was broken in Jeremiah 31:32. The covenant I made with their forefathers when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt. They broke my covenant. Though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. But they weren't worried about the consequences of breaking the covenant. When they looked around, they were still a nation and they were still living in the land. So they thought that they were safe from any bad stuff coming their way. But God was being patient with them. God was hoping that they'd return to him and his covenant. But Israel thought that God's patience with them, well, with their unfaithfulness, was God's approval of what they were doing. God, and because of that, God sent his prophets to them. His prophets were there to tell them that bad things were coming if they kept doing what they were doing. And Jeremiah was one of these prophets. Yeah, look over your Bible headings in Jeremiah 1 to 29. You'll see Jeremiah was really big on sin and judgment, telling them they were breaking the covenant and that they needed to repent. that soon they'd be kicked out of the land because they kept disobeying. But no one believed him. Instead, they made fun of him. They were joking that every time he spoke, he was just talking about terror on every side. But then, lo and behold, the Babylonians came. They conquered Israel. They kicked him out of the land. Ultimately, the issue was that Israel had a sin problem. And that sin, it broke the covenant between them and God. Sin's still a problem today. Today, people still go after other gods, even Christians. Today, the other gods, they're not Baal, they're not Asherah poles. But today, they're things like money, career, family, self-improvement. The other gods are what we turn to when we think that God isn't enough. Or some people think that if they go to church on Sunday and do the right things, that they'll be okay with God. Or some people think that if they live a moral life, that they'll be okay with God. As if God was someone who could be bought by what we do. Then, if you turn on the news, you'll see that people have lost sight of justice and mercy. They don't know God, and they don't know what He wants in the world. And Christians aren't always immune from that either. Under the old covenant, Israel's sinful nature only led to bad things. And if the old covenant still applied, there would only be bad things in store for us too. We have the same sinful nature that they had. But we have a loving God. He didn't want to see His people suffer under that old covenant. So after 29 chapters of judgment on Israel because of sin, when He says that Israel have broken the covenant like an unfaithful wife and bad stuff is coming and there's nothing they can do about it, Jeremiah talks about hope. Reading from Jeremiah 31:31. The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the old covenant that they broke. And what will the new covenant be like? Jeremiah 31:33-34. This is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor, or a man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness, and I will remember their sins no more. What's the fundamental difference between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant? In the Old Covenant, people are supposed to do things that they can't because of their sinful nature. In the New Covenant, God does it all Himself. In the Old Covenant, people were supposed to write out the law for themselves and memorize it. In the New Covenant, God Himself writes it on our hearts and our minds. In the Old Covenant, people taught each other to know God. In the New Covenant, God's people will know Him. God will reveal Himself to them. In the New Covenant, they won't have to do anything to be forgiven because God will forgive. But the Old and the New have something in common. The same covenant promise is held out. I will be their God, and they will be my people. And to achieve that, God does something new. In the new covenant, God does all the work. And that means one important thing. We can't break it. The old covenant could be broken. Sin created a barrier between God and his people, and God's people could fall out of relationship with him. But in the new covenant, God does everything so that his people will stay in relationship with him. Jeremiah is saying, great days are coming. Days when we'll have a new covenant with God, one that we can't break. A covenant where sin won't wreck our relationship with God like it does now. God's going to work it all out, and he will truly be our God, and we will truly be his people. We just need to push through some bad days first. Now, imagine you're a conquered Israelite and you're being taken from your home. You'd hear what Jeremiah said and you think, when? When will we have a new covenant? Now, after Israel were in Babylon about 70 years, the Babylonians were defeated and Israelites were allowed to go home. When they were going home, they might have remembered Jeremiah's prophecy and thought, is it now, Lord? Is this when the new covenant's going to start? But if you read Ezra, Nehemiah, Zechariah, Malachi, you'll see, no. It didn't happen then. When the Israelites went back to the land, it was more of the same. The faithful Israelites would have been waiting in hope for the new covenant to start. It's with this expectation that Jesus turns up. You see, Jesus didn't just turn up out of the blue. The whole Old Testament was on a trajectory towards him, and he came to fulfill all the hope and expectation of the Old Testament. If you only read the New Testament, it's like only watching the exciting bit at the end of the movie, because you miss a lot of the Old Testament hope and expectation for what happens in it. So Jesus turns up at a time when the faithful people, they waited and hoped for a new covenant. And in that covenant, God would write his law on their hearts. They'd know God. God would forgive their wickedness and not remember their sin. And God would be their God, and they would be his people. Imagine how a faithful Israelite would have felt when they heard this. Reading from Luke 22, verse 20, where Jesus is at the Last Supper with his disciples. After the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." They'd be thinking, new covenant? Hang on, is this the new covenant that Jeremiah was talking about? Well, what does the Bible say? Is the new covenant Jesus talked about the same one that Jeremiah was talking about? Firstly, Jesus has given us the Spirit. Now, the Spirit is God himself who comes and lives inside us. And when he's there, the Spirit teaches us. He's teaching us God's word, God's law, God's gospel. And he's writing these things on our heart. Secondly, it's through the Spirit that we know God. He's working in us so that we know God. By the Spirit, we can know Jesus personally. It's the Spirit that points us to Jesus, and when we know Jesus, we know God. Now, this is a process that the Spirit works out in the life of a Christian over their whole life. We don't instantly know everything that we can know. But as we mature in Christ, the Spirit teaches us more and more. And this side of heaven, there's always more to learn. And the Spirit works in us and changes our hearts. as we know God and what he wants in the world more and more, that changes our lives. And we act out of what's in our hearts, and if God and his word and his gospel are in our hearts more and more, then our actions start to reflect God more and more. Thirdly, what about forgiveness? When Jesus died on the cross, all sin was dealt with once and for all. All our sin, past, present, and future, it died with him there. It's all dead. It's gone. And it can never wreck our relationship with God. And thankfully, forgiveness isn't a process that we work out over time. It's ours now. And complete forgiveness is ours now. Jesus has paid the whole penalty for our sin. There is no longer any punishment, no condemnation for us. So God has forgiven our wickedness, and he won't remember our sins anymore. As far as God is concerned, it's finished. It's yesterday's news because of what Jesus has done. Finally, because of what Jesus did, we're called God's friends. We're called God's children. And he is our Father, our Lord, and our God. Jesus brought in the new covenant that all Israel were hoping for. When Jeremiah said the time is coming, that time came with Jesus. This side of the cross, we're not under the old covenant anymore. We're under the new. Jesus has fixed the sin problem from the old covenant. So now we can be in a special covenantal relationship with God without fear of breaking it. Can you see how understanding the Old Testament helps us to understand what's going on in the new? I want to encourage you to read the Old Testament and work at understanding it, because it'll help you know Jesus, who he is, and why he did what he did. It's so easy to think that Jesus' death was about saving me, and as if saving me was the only thing that Jesus was thinking about. Now, Jesus' death was about saving us, but when you read the Old Testament, you'll see that Jesus' life, his death, his resurrection, it was so much more than that. So when we understand that the old covenant is finished, we realize it's not about what I do anymore. It's about what Jesus did. And all that's left for us to do is trust Jesus, allow his spirit to work in our hearts, and to live our lives with Jesus as our Lord. And the sin problem is fixed now. God's people are his children. And God is not one who disowns his children. When all the people you know fail you and you're going through tough times, you can know that God will always be there with you. He's made a covenant with you. God will not break his covenant. One last point. God's covenant and the benefits of his covenant, it's with his people. It's God's people who are given the Spirit. It's God's people who are made right with God. And God's people have their sins forgiven. Now, if you feel like you're not one of God's people tonight, let me encourage you. God is not far from you. If you don't know God and you want to, or if you're carrying around sin and need forgiveness, these are available to you. It's an open invite to become one of God's people, and it's going to stay open. You don't need to bring anything but yourself. If you believe that Jesus is who he says he is, that he is Lord and God, and you submit to him as Lord, if you really believe God raised him from the dead, God will take you in as one of his people. God will adopt you as one of his children. And you will know God, and he will forgive you. If you'd like to know more about what it means to submit to Jesus and follow him as Lord, please talk to me or one of the pastors after the service, as we'd only be too happy to talk to you. But let's pray. Father God, thank you that you didn't let us suffer under the old covenant, that you didn't let the sin problem create a barrier between us and you forever. But thank you that you sent Jesus. You created a new covenant. And thank you that now we can be your people and you can be our God. Amen.